and in the fire, time after time, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. And what He did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I know the author of tomorrow has ordered my steps. So this is my story, this is my song. I'm praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. Oh, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Look at the flower and all of their beauty. I don't have to wonder, you know what you're doing. So why would I worry at all? You're faithful to supply everything I need, everything I need. My Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide, my Father has it. Look at the sparrow, lacking for nothing. Oh, no fear for tomorrow and what it will bring. Oh, if I have you, I have enough, 'cause your love will satisfy everything I need, everything I need. My Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide, my Father has it, my Father has it. Everything I need, everything I need. My Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide, my Father has it. So seek first the kingdom and its treasures, everything else it will be added. All that I'm needing, I know the Lord will provide. 'Cause I know my God's not empty-handed. He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing, I know the Lord will provide. Everything I need, everything I need, my Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide, my Father has it. Yeah. So seek first the kingdom and its treasures, everything else it will be added. All that I'm needing, I know the Lord will provide. 'Cause I know my God's not empty-handed. He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing, oh, I know the Lord will provide. Ooh, I know the Lord will provide. I know the Lord will provide. Everything I need, everything I need, my Father has it.
It is great. Choo. Hey. She got a fan, Charlie. Check.
All my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. Every song must end, and you never do. So I'll throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response, I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I'll throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Hope and Beach Church. Those of you here and online, glad you're here. As we gather, we remind us of no judgment zone. We're delighted you're here. This is a place of grace. It's okay not to be okay. Our heart and the desire is just that the work with God and what God does, He loves to awaken His hearts to Him. He loves to turn our hearts closer to Him because He wants to be closer to us. And so He gathers us, He draws us, He dwells with us, and He molds and shapes us. And that's just a joy. And as we gather here, we want to acknowledge your presence with us. Whether you're online, you can put it out in the chat, or whether you're here, if you want to use the connection card, it'd be great. It's our way to just recognize your presence with us. Especially draw your attention to prayer requests. Man, if there's any way we can pray for you, either here or also in our team, please let us know. Take an opportunity to do that. Well, it's no surprise what this weekend is, the 250th. We've been kind of maybe being consumed with it or had many festivities with it. And so we're interrupting our series on John for this weekend. And we're talking about, this beautiful thing that God has given us of America. But we're also talking about a greater kingdom that we are a part of, too. And so I want to give us a little bit of a word of encouragement here. It comes from Jeremiah 17:7-8. It says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes, and for its leaves remain green. It's not anxious in the years of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for the blessings of our nation this day. But let us worship the living King, whose eternal kingdom is our true home, whose grace gives us our greatest hope. And so we give you thanks, and in giving thanks, though, we turn our hearts to you. So let us rise, and let us praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us rise and let us praise him. I invite you to rise. But if you need to stay seated, you can do that too.
The lyrics are on the first page of the bulletin. If you don't have a bulletin, raise your hand and maybe somebody will get you one. Okay. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. You know, that's a wonderful prayer for our nation and for our people. Doesn't matter what you look like, what you sound like. That prayer is for all of us. And so is this prayer. Because I don't think anybody misses exactly what's going on. I don't think you can see it from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep. And let me tell you, that shouldn't be our view. Our view should be on Jesus. Strictly on Jesus. The matters of the world, God will handle. Our prayer should be, come, Jesus, come. Sometimes I fall to my knees and pray. Come, Jesus, come. Let today be the day. Sometimes I feel like I'm gonna break, but I'm holding on to a hope that won't fade. Amen. Let's sing that again. Sometimes I fall to my knees and pray. Come, Jesus, come. Oh, let today be the day. Sometimes I feel, oh, like I'm gonna break, but I'm holding on to a hope that won't fade. Come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return to heal every hurt and right every wrong. We need you right now. Come and turn this around. Deep down I know this world isn't home. Come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come. There'll be no more. There'll be no more chains when Jesus comes. Let today be the day. He'll come for the weak and the strong just to shame, and all will believe in the power of his name. Come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return to heal every hurt, right every wrong. We need you right now. Come and turn this around. Deep down I know this world isn't home. Come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come. One day you'll come and we'll stand face to face. Hallelujah. Come and lay it all down, 'cause today might be the day. The time is right now. There's no need to wait. Your past will be washed with rivers of grace. Come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return. Heal every hurt, right every wrong. Come, Jesus, come.
Amen. Heavenly Father, come. Come now in the midst. Bring your saving grace here. Fill us with it. Touch us with it. That we may know of your sure certainty of your word, but your grace and your love in the midst of all. And not have that hope set in our heart. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Again, my name is Jason. I have the honor and privilege to be the senior pastor at Holborn Beach Church. I want to invite you, if you want to open up and follow along in the outline. This weekend, as we celebrate America's birthday, 250 years, I mean, think about that for a moment. 2.5 centuries. Generations have lived under freedom that we enjoy today. 13 colonies become 50 states. Wagons gave way to automobiles. Telegraphs became smartphones. We watch men walk on the moon, disease cured, families raised, churches planted, missionaries sent around the world, and the gospel preached from countless pulpits across the nation. That's worth celebrating. And as Christians, we don't apologize for gratitude. James reminds us, James 1:17, it says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Every freedom, the freedom we have, every one of them, like here, gathering on a beach in a public place, every opportunity, every peaceful transfer of power, every firefighter who runs to a fire, every police officer protects our communities, every teacher invests in our children, every soldier who has stood watch while the rest of us sleep, every good gift ultimately comes from the hand of God. Patriotism is at its best when it begins with thanksgiving to God. But birthdays have a way of reminding us of something that we don't always think about. Every birthday is a celebration, and every birthday is also a reminder that time is passing. We celebrate because we have endured. We reflect because nothing on earth lasts forever. History has proven that over and over again. Look at other countries in history, whether it's Egypt, Babylon, Rome, the British Empire. Each one looked permanent. Each one believed its influence would last forever. Yet today, we mostly just visit these as tourists and study them in history books, because every nation has a birthday and every nation has a history, and every earthly nation without exception has a limit. And that's where God's word has us and brings us and asks us a deeper question. a deeper question than politics and bigger than patriotism. And the question that it brings us to is, where do Christians place their deepest hope? Where do Christians place their deepest hope? Because across the country today, millions of Americans are flying flags. And they remind us of courage, sacrifice, freedom, service. And they should. And we honor those who have gave so much that we could enjoy the blessings we often take for granted. But there is another symbol that stands even higher than every flag. It isn't stitched with stars and stripes. It's rough wood stained with blood of the Son of God. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. And today we celebrate a nation that has endured for 250 years. But we worship a king and a kingdom that has no beginning and whose reign will never end. And our deepest hope is not found in a rise and fall of any nation. It's found in Jesus Christ. Listen what the Hebrews writer says. Hebrews 13:14. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Paul reminds us, but as our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today we give thanks to God for our blessings of our nation, America, but we also lift our eyes to something that's even greater. Our eternal kingdom, our eternal King, our eternal hope that will not disappoint. So if you're taking notes, number one, give thanks for God's gifts. Give thanks for God's gifts. Moses knew something about prosperity. Israel was entering the promised land, and they were going to get houses they didn't build. They were going to have wells they didn't dig. They were going to be able to harvest food they didn't plant. And God warned them. In Deuteronomy 8, it says, take care lest you forget the Lord your God. That's kind of interesting. God doesn't warn about famine. God doesn't warn about their success. But he warns that prosperity often brings amnesia. We slowly begin believing, I earned it. I deserve it. I built it. But Moses reminds us, no. Everything is a gift. America has experienced extraordinary blessings. It's not because we earned it and we're better than any other nation. I mean, just take a look at it. Look at the news. We can see that there's sin and brokenness that abounds. And yet, God has blessed us. He's blessed us with this freedoms and his freedoms to worship him. We've been blessed with abundance of food that we have pantries, we have freezers. We don't get rations. He's blessed us with innovation and the freedom to discover, explore, and create. We've been blessed with opportunities and generosity. We've been blessed with medicine and hospitals that we can choose and schools and churches. But none of this exists apart from God's grace. His gracious hand. Like living in Sarasota Beach, we see this every day almost. And we see visitors that stop at any part where there's a gap between buildings or a rest stop, and they stop and they take in and they look at, they take pictures of every sunset. They stand in awe of the beauty all the time. And those that live here, we can drive right by. Those that live here, I mean, we probably don't even go to the beach that much, some of us. The scenery hasn't become less beautiful. We simply become more familiar with it. And the same thing can happen with us with God. we become familiar and we start marveling at his work. We start marveling at his amazing grace, what he's provided. And we stop receiving it with gratitude. Moses knew the danger, and that's why he warned Israel, take care lest you forget the Lord your God. Because familiarity can dull gratitude. If we're not careful. Because the greatest danger isn't losing God's blessings. It's becoming familiar with him that we forget to thank and honor the one who gave them. Paul writes in Romans 2:4, says, God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. God never intended the gift to be the destination. They are meant to be signposts pointing us to the giver, to his goodness. And his goodness and his graciousness is meant to capture our hearts, not simply with what he gives, but who he is. But our sinful hearts have a way of stopping short. Instead of trusting the one who gives every good and perfect gift, we begin placing our confidence in the gifts themselves. We put our confidence in our own abilities, our health, our wealth, our freedom, our nation, our success. We have our confidence built around our comfort, our status, our lifestyle. Instead of depending on the giver, God. And so instead of the gifts leading us to God, the gifts actually become our idols, our gods. That's why Moses warned Israel, take care lest you forget the Lord. Because God's gifts are wonderful, but they're terrible at gods. They're terrible gods. And that's why we need this warning of Hebrews as we come to our second point, because gratitude isn't enough. We need to guard against the hearts from holding on to the gifts above the giver. So number two, guard against misplaced hope. Hebrews reminds us, for here we have no lasting city. And the words are a little unsettling. No lasting city, no lasting nation, no lasting economy. I mean, that brings a little bit of fear and anxiety, and that's kind of what's been pushed on us again and again in the news. Whatever decision, anything's going on in Washington, it's like, well, we're in the fear of losing it all. And we're all filled with this anxiety and rush over it. And yeah, if we lost America and America fell, yeah, it would be bad. It would suck. It'd be hard. And I don't think just for America, I think it would affect the world greatly. But at the same time, we got to realize that maybe we're being so energized by that, that fear affects us. We get anxious. We get angry about it so much because it's reflecting where our hope is. Where our grip is too much on the gifts and not the giver. God's word says, for here we have no lasting city. Everything on earth is temporary. I mean, the kingdom of Babylon, its time, it looked unstoppable. It was a superpower in the ancient world. Its walls were massive. Its wealth was legendary. Its rulers believed this kingdom would stand forever. But one night, while King Belshazzar celebrated inside the palace, a mysterious hand appeared and wrote on the wall, God's judgment had come. And before the night was over, Babylon had fallen. Another kingdom had taken its place. And that's how quickly earthly kingdoms can change. Yet Daniel already knew something Belshazzar did not. And that is, there's only one kingdom we cannot fall. And it's the kingdom of the living God. And years later, Denarius, a pagan king, emperor, declares this. He says in Daniel 6:26, I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are in tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed. I mean, think about it. A pagan king understood something many believers forget. God's kingdom outlasts every earthly kingdom. And so when our hope is tied to what can be shaken, then eventually our hearts can be shaken. And see, the temptation for us isn't simply just loving America. I hope we love America. We should. But our temptation is expecting or believing America can do what only Jesus can do. And our sin is also not just believing, but trying to make it do what only He can do. See, no election, no economy, no military, no Supreme Court, no Constitution can forgive your sins. They give you peace that passes all understanding. None can conquer death. None can raise you from the dead. It's only Christ. Christ can. And that freedom saves our hearts from being entangled into the lowly affairs of this kingdom, being tempted to put our hope into what, in fact, enslaves us and steals life from us. Christ comes and says, yeah, serve, yes, love your country, but there's something greater. Don't get entangled. Don't get enslaved. Don't let your heart and life get tethered and tied and put into a chain to the events that are going on in an earthly nation. You've been freed for something far greater. Hebrews says, this city won't last, so seek what? The city that is to come. There's a greater city that is here, that will be coming, that is invisible to the human eye, but only by the Spirit do you see the kingdom of God. This reigning in the hearts and lives of every nation, every tongue, every tribe. I mean, think about it. When you travel at an airport, it's necessary and useful to know what gate you're going to. But you don't arrive at the gate and say, look, I made it to gate. It's B12. This is wonderful. We should decorate it and stay here. No, you don't do that. You don't make a home at the gate. You want to get out of there. Why? Because it's not your home. It's only temporary. It's only getting you to the place where you're going. And that's what Hebrews reminds us, that this is not home. This is not the promised land. We're passing through. Heaven is our true home. And then it raises the question, if heaven is our true home, then how should we live? This heaven is where our hope and our heart should be fixed with. How do we live here? And number three, we live as citizens of heaven while serving on earth. Serving on earth. Peter writes to persecuted Christians who are being persecuted by the Emperor Nero, and how he's persecuting Christians is awful. The torture, unbelievable. And he says this: be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it's to be the emperor as supreme, or to the governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil, or to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using freedom to cover up for evil, but living as servants of God, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. I mean, this is Peter, the one who is speaking out, who's trying to take charge, who always wanted to make a great nation of Israel, to rule over everything. He's the one that grabbed the sword and cuts the ear. I mean, he's the one who's trying to always take things by force. And he has a major alignment with God and his kingdom. And he puts everything back in a beautiful order. He says, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, for fear God. Honor the emperor. Now, if you're a persecuted Christian, that would highlight, would stick out. We want to fight him. We want to destroy him. What do you mean honor him? And I hear it all the time. Why don't we honor a president? I don't care what election it is. And you got to ask the question. Well, is God sovereign? Is God working things in this world? I mean, do you really believe that God is good and he's been faithful to his word? And that God in his goodness and his grace is working all things, even good and evil, for the purposes of not you, but his kingdom? And hasn't history shown us that his kingdom is stronger and better and bigger, in fact, under persecution than it is in freedom? And so while we might not have that preference in our lives, isn't that we serve the greater kingdom? I mean, we have nowhere to suffer. And what has happened in the church? Decline. Massive decline. Because many in the country love the gifts but don't like the giver. And so when we get anxious, we get upset, it's really pointing to back to where is our hope? Is our hope only tied into leaders that we like? Is our hope only in the laws that we agree with? Is our hope only good when the stocks are good? Or our hope only good when the gas prices get low or the mortgage rates hit the right place? Or is it in God? That we are not trying to control, that we are trusting God is working all things in this. And even things in us. Notice the order, fear God, then honor the emperor. Peter doesn't confuse the two, and neither should we. But we have a world that's trying to bring confusion to Christians. And I think Satan's behind it, because Satan's always the divider, and Satan's always brings confusion to what is clear. Fear God, honor. And so the problem is we have two ditches. We have people that have gone into what I call Christian nationalism that think that this is like we're the promised nation, we're the great nation, or Israel is, or one of those is better than all. That's God's anointed nation for the whole world. And so we infuse, we put our hope, we put everything like God ordained all these things, and this is the way it's supposed to be. And so we have Christian nationalism. And then we have the other side, which is, well, church and state is totally separate, and church ought to just shut up. And by the way, that's usually from the global atheists that are doing that. And those are the two ditches that Christians tend to fall in. We either put all our hope in a nation and say this is all God-ordained things, and we try to run the church like the state like a church, and we blend our theology and everything together. Or we just say it's separate and it's nothing. No. He says, be an earthly citizen. You be an earthly citizen, but realize your citizenship is in heaven. You have a far greater citizenship. So what does that mean? That you still need to live out your faith. We live out knowing what the Bible has said about our life, that Christ's kingdom rules and reigns. I mean, Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God because his work of freedom, his work of salvation for all is fully complete. He's at rest. The Bible says that the earth is a footstool for his reign. He's so much greater than the world. And so he's reigning over the world, waiting for his time to come back. And yet he's entrusted us to be the stewards of his word and his creation and his gifts. So we honor him, we worship him, and we carry out what he's given us by sharing the truth. By, yes, being good citizens. We hold to a heavenly citizenship without forgetting our earthly citizenship. He doesn't say forget your earthly citizenship. In fact, Peter's going to say remember it, remember it. That you have a place and a purpose and a calling in this world, in this time, now. Because the truth is, heavenly citizens make the best earthly citizens. We pray. We look for endless truths that are not shaped by culture, but timeless truths. We help our neighbors. We volunteer. We defend the vulnerable. We care for the marginalized. We love even those who disagree with us. And we realize that the battle of changing the party or the names or the laws, that is all on paper. But the real game that God is interested in, the real game that God works in, is changing hearts. Because you can change all the laws you want, but it won't change hearts. Only God can do that. Only the gospel does that. And that's what God does. He calls his church, that he says, I promise I want to work through you for my kingdom. And so we as heavenly citizens work in earthly citizens. We work in all the realms, carrying out where God has called us and placed us to be his vehicle, to be his messenger, to be his ambassador, Paul says, of what is true, what is right and good and solitary, what is great for all people, what God has designed and given. See, the church had its confidence not rooted in winning arguments. It had its confidence in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it was a little band of brothers by the power of the Holy Spirit that expanded, that took down the biggest empire called Rome. That was more secular than you can imagine and more disgusting in many different ways. But what happened is people just had hearts that changed, and it changed the land. It changed the nation. And that's what God's called the church to do. See, we don't live in fear of losing a country. We live with the already certainty of the kingdom that cannot be lost. And a kingdom that matters most. And that's where our true freedom, and that's where our real freedom comes. See, ultimately, this is not about America. It's about Jesus, about eternal king. While earthly kings send people to defend their kingdom, send soldiers, our king defended his kingdom by becoming the sacrifice. Other kings wear a crown of, he didn't wear a crown, he wore a crown of thorns. He didn't carry a scepter, he carried a cross. He didn't shed someone else's blood, he shed his own. See, on Easter morning, a kingdom that looked defeated and hopeless proved to be the only kingdom death could not conquer. That's why the greatest identity isn't American or Republican or Democratic or Independent or even Floridian. Which Floridian's close. No, I'm just kidding. Our deepest identity belongs in Christ. Through your baptism, he claimed you. Through his word, he speaks forgiveness. At his table, he feeds you with his own body and blood. And through his resurrection, he promises a citizenship that is already secured. So one day, I don't know when, but the American flag will no longer fly. Not because America failed, but because history itself will be complete. Every nation, every language, every tribe will stand together before one throne. And John gives a picture of this in Revelation 7. And listen to what they are singing. It's not my country, tis a fee. It's not a national anthem. It's a greater song. It's our memory verse. Let's read together. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. It's not an anthem that will ever grow old. It's not. It is the kingdom that will never fail. It's the king who never leaves his people. So today, we give thanks for God's gifts. We guard our hearts against misplaced hope and live joyfully as citizens of heaven and faithfully serving here on earth. Because our deepest hope does not rest in a flag. It rests in a cross. It rests in an empty tomb. And it rests on the Lamb who's on the throne, ruling his goodness and mercy. Amen. We close today the sermon in your worship folder. There's a little card. And it was the first prayer of the Continental Congress in 1774. And so there's two sides. There's modern English and then there's old English. We're going to stick with modern English. And I invite you to pray with me. Oh Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you reign from your throne over all the earth. You see every nation, every person, every power extends over every kingdom, empire, and government. Look with mercy on our nation. We ask you to watch over us with grace, with your gracious care and protection. Remind us that our ultimate hope and security are found in you alone. We look to you for wisdom, strength, and justice that only you can provide. Heavenly Father, guide our leaders with wisdom and integrity. Give them discernment on their decisions and courage to do what is right. Frustrate the plans of those who seek evil and turn hearts away from violence and conflict. May your perfect justice lead all people to pursue peace. Be present with those entrusted to govern. Grant them wisdom to establish what is true, just, and lasting. Bring an end to hatred and division and restore peace, order, and unity. May truth, justice, faith, and godliness flourish throughout our nation. Strengthen those who serve the public, preserve their health, and renew their minds. Bless our people according to your gracious will, providing our daily needs and leading us always to trust in you. Above all, keep us steadfast in faith and through the saving work of Jesus Christ. Your Son, our Savior, bring us to this last and to everlasting glory of your heavenly kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And Lord, we pray also the prayer that you taught us together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In your worship folder, you have the opportunity to continue your worship and to honor God and to honor the giver of great gifts and the gifts that he gives us. And God calls us to do that as a cheerful giver back to him. And so we have that opportunity to do it in our worship. You can use the giver of all gifts that is given us. Also in your worship folder is that connection card. If you want to turn to the backside, if you want a next step, if you'd like to be baptized, want prayer, come talk to us. And there's also a QR code for the application. But if you'd like to receive some daily devotions, based on the messages, then you can hit that little box and we'll get you in that. Also, there's a place to belong here. And I just encourage, if you're summer, we're a little bit lower on program. We have Men of Iron coming up and some women events. But man, if you just like to meet and learn more about hope, then let's meet with the pastor. I'd love to be able to meet with you and get to know you more and give you a chance to get to know us more. It'd be a great. And there's opportunities to serve, especially in hospitality or also in our teams for worship on Sunday morning. If you want to get a little more beach in your life and a little more rendering of that, staying in shape, then we invite you to come and be on the setup team at the beach. It's a joy. And in fact, if you have some more time to help us break down after service, it'd be great just to have some more hands to help out. But with that, we continue our worship. And as we do, the usher is going to come around with the bucket and you can place your offering in there. And your connection card, and keep the pen, take it home, put it in a doctor's office, drop it someplace, and just share the word simply that way. So let's continue our worship together. Thanks.
Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. We can sing this all day. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. It was my cross you bore, so I can live in the freedom you died for. And now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Hallelujah. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name.
As we close with a blessing, we have a tradition of putting our hands out as one's just receiving another gift from God as we go. And so may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May he look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. And all God's people say,
amen.
Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord as citizens of heaven. Amen.